and I'll tell you guys since we're all friends. Every character I write has a piece of me in them.
Hi, I'm Leigh Bardugo. You're listening to The GrishaCast.
Welcome to GrishaCast, episode 174. In this episode, we will be announcing who is the most powerful Grisha and starting a fun new bracket. This is your host, Eric.
And I'm Terry. From Nashville, Tennessee, this is your podcast for all things Grishaverse.
A world created by our familiar, Leigh Bardugo. Moi savi yin yi, casters.
Hi, hi, hi.
Ooh, so how are we doing?
Doing good. I mean, today is a little stressful, but we all have those days. But like, in general, things are good.
Okay.
Last week, my favorite local band played at a house party. It was a secret house party, and you had to be like let into it, like whatever. So I get there late because I was working, and I walk up as they're playing my favorite song of theirs, and everybody is wasted, and it would be like college party if it weren't in like a nice part of town and there was a freaking koi pond in the backyard. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
And then so I like walked up and I felt like I was like, hey, fellow children, because I'm looking around going, oh, wow, hello. I look like the freaking like narc or the mom coming home to bust everybody.
Everybody out.
Yes. Except I'm the only one that knows all the words. So
well,
it was a weird situation. But it was weird and it was fun. I don't know. It was one.
You had fun.
I did have fun.
Okay.
And I got to, you know, hang out with them, and because they didn't know anybody there, they were hired to play. It was Audrey's birthday. Happy birthday, Audrey. I don't know you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was really bizarre.
Yeah, it sounds
And then it. The second they stopped playing, a DJ came on and they were playing very like what's her name? Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats. Like, I don't know. It was very strange. But yeah,
very odd.
It was different and odd, and it was fun, and it was like a nod to old like college parties.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like have a sip of alcohol or do any of the drugs going around. I was standing there sober, laughing, everybody else taking hilarious pictures with people who were blasted. So that was kind of fun. But I heard about the show.
Oh.
From one of the band members that I happened to run into last Wednesday at the gay Jewish meetup. He worked at the restaurant that it was the weirdest, most random thing. And I was like, what the heck are you doing here? And he's like, I only work here one day a week. And I was like, and I just happened to, anyway, this has a roundabout.
I'm going on the ride, so you just keep going.
Okay, so at this meeting of gay Jewish people, one of the rabbis wanted everybody to talk about their, like, who they look up to in, like, a queer space and who they continue to look up to or who, like, keeps them going and everything else. And there were some fun answers, and it was kind of fun. And I guess it was a progression of what was kind of your first big, like,
role model.
Yeah, I guess role model, or like that it was acceptable, or that you felt close to, or like whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, for me, it was like Anne Rice at Interview with the Vampire. Even though that wasn't technically the theme, it was just that it was genderless, you know?
Yeah.
It was, yeah. And then I said, you know, later on in life, It's absolutely my bestie, Eric. And everybody did the, and I was just gushing over how, like, you've always just like been out and you've just been kind of unapologetic about it. And you married a great gay man and have great gay adoption. And like everything is like what I want. And so it's just like you guys like keep me going. And the rabbi was like, have you told Eric this? And I was like, probably in not so many words, but like I for sure need to like put it in his face so like he knows for sure. And so I was holding on to it so that like I could tell the entire world.
Oh, girl, that is so sweet. And I was wondering why. I was like, oh, finally, I get to hear about this gay porn meetup because I wanted to hear about it. And you, like, when I asked you at the porn we went to, you're like, yeah, I'll have to tell you about that later. Or we had stuff going on, I think, probably.
There was a lot happening.
There was. But that's so sweet. Yeah. Aw. How many, like, and I love, of course, you did it on our podcast. So,
of course.
But that's so kind. Caught me off guard. I thought you were going to say like RuPaul. And then I was, wow. How was the meetup though?
Like,
I mean,
was
there a lot of people there?
Yes. Not like a ton, but there were more than I expected there to be.
Okay.
And there were, it was like the whole spectrum was there and there were allies. I'm obviously not naming names
right
on air. But there was like a full like spectrum. Even more so than I was expecting, and I was surprised at the array, and I will have to tell you about that. But it was really nice just hearing experiences, and I mean, of course, my experience is a little different than their experience because they grew up as gay Jewish individuals or queer Jewish or trans Jewish or whatever, so it was a little different. So I obviously was giving them the floor, but just to hear people talk about it and then to just everybody be supportive. And it was really, really nice.
That is. And did you guys have your own like room? It sounds okay. So you guys like had a table.
It's a big like open room kind of thing. And we had like a long table reserved.
Okay.
And then, I'm just the rabbi, you know.
Yes. The rabbi. Know who you're talking
about. Again, I don't want to say names, but, we had drinks and pizzas on the temple, so it was nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you get to meet any fun, cool new people? Like, I mean, people that you might, I don't know, run into again or like?
Yeah, I exchanged numbers with somebody who is doing some of their own business. They're doing some consultant work in a different area. And we start talking about consulting, and there's some consulting I want to do. I will not bore everybody because it's like horrifically like boring to everybody. But they were really like really interested in it. And so we exchanged numbers so that we could see how we could like partner that way. So that was interesting
awesome.
And fun. And we got to nerd out for a little bit, and everybody else kind of drowned us out because they were like, what are you talking about? And we're like, something really boring and nerdy. But it was fun.
That's awesome. The reason I asked is just because I remember, I think it was something that you were supposed to come to with us. It was the margaritas.
Yes.
And we, Chris, my mom and I met at our table, like another gay couple, and they were just really cool.
Yeah.
And like, that's the only time I've seen them.
They've been, that I've recognized, they've been like one other time.
Yeah. And that's what, because I remember asking the couple that we met, I was like, you guys come a lot? And like one of them does. The other guy like didn't. But hopefully we'll see him again. But it was just,
one of the guys is like related to somebody famous. Again, I don't want to say, but like,
oh, huh.
So,
I bet I know who it is because that family lives in
glasses and
movie director.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That family lives in Nashville.
So he was there, and so like got to hear from him and
I'm
whatever.
Interested to know who you're talking about. I mean, I know the famous person.
The connection.
But, yeah, I'm wondering what, because I know that family because they grew up in my synagogue that I grew up in. And but I mean, I have to remember the family also like gets bigger and bigger. And I'm just, I didn't know there was a gay person in their family, but that yeah. I knew. So, but maybe I don't. Anyways, neat. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I knew who their family is. Like, I mean, it started. Yeah. We're talking about a lot of things around
I know,
that we're not it's, saying.
Because so. It's not like my job to like out people and name yeah. names and everything else. So
I don't know if it would be a problem that we said that family, but we'll leave it out.
Yeah.
So, well, first off, again, thank you. That was really kind. I really like the, that was really sweet. Your inspiration. And I also loved hearing about the party. That sounds fun. And, aw. So, it sounds like you've had definitely an interesting week. You've had a lot going on.
It was very interesting. And it was like a lot.
Yeah.
In a week's time, which is weird, I guess, but.
Well, yeah. Luckily, this is this is for us a 4-day week. But I don't think you have a.
No.
No. Mm-mm.
Nope.
None of that.
Oh, no. I mean, it's not, I don't even get 4 days. I mean, yeah. I work weekends, so I'm not working Friday.
See? Yeah.
Because I don't work Fridays really ever.
Oh. Okay.
Because I go to temple. Pew, 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 pew.
Which, by the way, Terry is going to temple more than I go.
And then I'm not sure if I work Sunday or not, but as you know, a non-Christian, I yeah. obviously put my volunteer hat on for that one.
I wish temple, like, I mean, the one thing that I wish it's the timing. It's like, because I work every Friday, and like when we went to Purim services with you, it was mm-hmm. like got home directly, get your stuff together, and like get yeah. out the door. I mean, because I mean. We were dressing, we all dressed up and it was fun and we had a theme. We ended up being breakfast, obviously, all of us.
All together, yeah.
All together.
But, although, like, mine wasn't really like breakfast, but anyway, did you post us on
the
Grishacast one?
I didn't, but I should because I think I kept on looking at all of the pictures and one, the pictures of all of, like, our whole family. I was trying to find one where my eyes weren't.
It was either you or your mom, like, in every single picture.
I love that.
Like, you dang G-bergs and your inability
to keep our eyes open
look
in the picture.
At the camera. So I don't think it's that your eyes are closed necessarily. It's just how you smile. It makes it look like your eyes are closed. And then for some reason, anytime there's a picture with your mom, she's not looking at the camera. I don't know like where she's looking or what's happening, but it happens every single time.
And she's very into these pictures too. She wants them taken and she's like, in it, but like, yeah, her eyes are just, she's looking somewhere else.
She will lose her mind over taking these pictures, but then afterwards, it's that picture sucks.
Exactly. She hates every single
one. And then
one.
She won't even look in the camera.
I still have not figured out what kind of face my mom is wanting to give because I've always like looked at the pictures like, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Okay. And then like, it's just,
well, then maybe don't do this.
Right. Smile. Like, we're trying to take a picture.
Look at the camera. Stop talking.
That's probably the main thing. Yeah. She's talking a bit during the entire thing. She was a donut, by the way, guys, which was really kind of cute.
Yeah. Oh,
but anyways, Purim was fun. For those of you that don't know, Purim is a Jewish holiday where you dress up in costumes like Halloween, except you don't do the whole scary thing or go and do trick-or-treating.
And you throw candy in children's faces.
And, like, they throw it.
Yeah, yes. I'm not talking about, like a gentle toss in a parade. Nope. I mean, like, you better watch yourself.
I had to. There was one moment, like, my mom kept on looking at me. And I think you saw it. Yes. I was trying to get her. I was like, nope, mom, stop. You've got to pay attention. They were about to get, like, pelted with candy. And I'm surprised she didn't. Like, but some of those kids were out for like blood for that candy.
Yes, they were.
Because there was a kid that came up to our row and she's like, are you guys eating that, like eating that piece of candy? And she pointed to towards the floor and I was like, honey, that was a wrapper. Like, we ate that. Thank you. But like, sorry. No.
I was laughing because they were telling her all the kids to stay in their seats. But then at some point they all ended up in the middle aisleway. And so especially the rabbi dressed as Wonka was just throwing candy at them, just like, and it cracked me up because they were all scrambling on the floor and he just kept like throwing candy at them. And it just looked like a weird scene.
So rabbi that was dressed like Glinda.
Yeah.
She was pelting. Like, I mean, yes. She was her arm. I was like, go girl. Uh-huh. I was like, yes, use that arm. She was getting it all the way back.
She was. It always cracks me up too because the candy gets stuck in the ledge with the lights. And I wonder, like, how often much? They clean it out and how much candy is, like, stuck up there. Because that's what I focus on during the whole thing. When they throw the thing, there's, like, a piece that goes astray and it lands in the lights. And my brain hyper-focuses on that thing. Is it melting up there? Was it chocolate? How long is it going to sit up there? If it starts to molt, I hyper-focus on it.
What I was hyper-focused on when after the Purim was how big those hot dogs were. I thought that was crazy. For some reason, that kept my attention. I was like, those are ginormous hot dogs that they're serving us.
It was a big wiener.
Yeah. Did you like the Hamantaschen that I made you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a fit? Because I gave you three different flavors. Did you have a favorite?
I think the almond one.
Good. I think that one's so good, too. Actually, I don't know. I think in my head that it probably tastes good, but I have not even tried it.
Well.
I'm assuming... I think it, and it's pretty.
It is.
It sprinkles. Yeah. Anyways, I made Hamantaschen. Yay. So, okay. Well, I think we have, so we've got some stuff to actually do, which is exciting. So tonight we are going to be announcing finally the winner of the bracket we had been working on, which is the most powerful Grisha. And, since it happens to be two characters that Terry and I both love, we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're going to let Chris actually help us out with this because...
Yeah, Eric and I were hands-off on this one so that there was no shenanigans.
Exactly. We didn't want anybody to think there'd be any shenanigans. So, literally, the voting... Chris knows who the winner is and he calculated all of it and... Yeah, so anyways, producer man, Art, do you think you'd be able to help us out with that? Are you ready?
I can. First off, hello, listeners. You don't hear me much, but I am here.
They want to hear you. They would love it if you talk more often.
Yeah, I'll just pull a chair up in there and we'll all three be on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
So this was very interesting. It was not neck and neck. It was not a tight competition at all.
Okay.
I was really shocked.
Okay.
And I don't have a drum roll sound effect, so I'll just tell you, 88.9% of the vote was Zoya.
88.9.
Yes.
Wow.
Dang, y'all.
Blew Nina out of the water.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, I think it makes sense.
If we're talking about the most powerful.
Which is the word we're using. Powerful, not... Yeah, it's the most powerful. Yeah.
I mean, Nina's she's powerful. Like the queen of Ravka and blah, blah, blah.
She's a drag. She can also turn into a dragon. Like, I mean, you know, it is the word powerful.
Powerful.
I mean, Nina is cool as hell and she's amazing. And I mean, she's done things that other Grisha have never done. She survived Jurda Paren and then turned into some kind of weird, crazy...
I don't need your pity, okay?
I know. I'm doing it for our fans. The fans out there...
Well, clearly the fans...
Don't
vote care.
Because they voted for Zoya. Well, hey, that was fun. I had fun doing that.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was kind of... Yeah. So we have decided... Thank you, Christopher, by the way. That was fantastic.
Great job.
Yes. Mazel tov. So we are going to...
He's yelling something in there.
Yeah. I can't hear. We're going to do another bracket or start one. And this actually is kind of fun. I like it. It's going to, I'm guessing we're going to figure out who is the most like evil or the most villainy villain or the most evil antagonist or the worst person.
Best villain.
Best villain. I mean, yeah. Maybe along the line we'll figure out what the best.
It's like a Nickelodeon award. Best it, villain.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. It is. At the Teen Choice Awards.
Yes.
At MTV Movie Awards.
Yes.
That's where it is.
MTV Awards.
They would have a best villain.
They would.
For sure. Okay, so we had 16 Grisha last time. So that was kind of the we aim towards it. We have 16 people. This was not easy, by the way. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through them, kind of remember who they are, and then we're going to figure out who at least each bracket will be. That's what Terry and I are going to do. That's our job. So, and then you will be able to go to GrishaCast.com and vote on each one and decide out of these two who you think the most evilly is, or I keep on thinking like the worst person, and I'm like, it's not really worse. It's just like the evilest person in the Grishaverse. I don't know.
Or like who you love to hate.
Well, but that's, no, can't do love to hate.
Fine.
No, because that is that's where this gets complicated. That's where
just best villain.
Best villain. Best villain. And the winner is, yes. So we're just going to kind of go through these and try to figure out who to pair each person up with, because that's going to be the hard part. So the first one, obviously, Darkling. I mean, we know. And he's going to be, I don't think, to be honest, I feel like everybody else is thinking that the Darkling would go really far. I don't think he should. I don't feel like the Darkling really is the best villain, because like his intentions are always like good, you know? I mean, his intentions were to like,
are we like arguing their sides? What's happening?
Oh, well, we're just remembering who each one is.
Okay.
So I mean, because we're going through each one and I just wanted to point that out,
I guess. We're giving opinions.
Well, yeah. And that too. Whatever.
Fine.
Yeah. But I mean, I really don't. I don't think the Darkling will make, like, I feel like, because, right? His intentions were always to help Grisha.
Yes.
Even though they were crazy, like, I mean,
yes,
drastic ways. But, okay.
He thought he was doing what he should do.
Right.
In his dark little heart.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. Now, the next one, who do we got?
I mean, we have Tanta Haleen.
Yeah.
Who clearly is a villain.
Yeah.
Tanta Haleen, I think, were two different people. One in the book and one in the show.
So let's go with the book one. Or, I mean, because, yeah, they are totally different. We have to pick one. I think we should go with the book version. Because there's more story there. Because
in the book, she's like an older woman, to me, a little more like harsher in person.
Because she was
the one
in the show
was like beautiful,
yeah,
and seductive. And
then dies.
And like, then just
gets
dies.
Killed.
So, yeah, Tanta Haleen is the woman who owns... Or owned
and
Inej,
right?
At the menagerie.
Yeah.
So Inej was sold to her for like use.
Yeah.
In the menagerie, which is basically a gentleman's club.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Putting it in a sensitive way.
Mm-hmm.
So
what did she do all that bad besides owning people?
Well, I mean,
I'm just trying to remember, I guess. Hold on. Because we are, by the way, yeah, we can't remember. So we are all up going and using the Grishaverse wiki. So don't even think.
Why you gotta give stuff away?
Because, I mean, come on, girl. They know. They've listened to me blabber on and forget key points of the Grishaverse, and that's what our entire thing is about. And I just can't remember anything.
A brothel.
Okay, so taunt. That's not a... Anyways. I'm trying to... Taunt. I'm just...
So she... Wow, it really just lays it all out there.
Does it? Okay, but, give me some...
I'm not going to... I'm going to skip down through. It says, cruel, physically and emotionally abuses the girls who work at the menagerie.
Okay.
Although slavery is illegal, Helene procures at least some of the girls via slavery, forcing them into indentures and preventing them from ever paying off their indenture. If the girls try to run away, Helene has her enforcers beat them severely and lock them in chains. If the girls cannot work due to injury, Helene charges them for the lost income. Uncaring about their situation, she dehumanizes the girls by calling them only by the name of the animal associated with their ethnicity.
Oh, that's okay. So I'm, yeah, so she's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now this gives, sorry, I know we're focusing probably too long and we need move on, but it says, Helene is tall with a sinuous frame. She has thick, luscious piles of golden hair. Her eyes are hazel and slightly feline. She wears vibrantly colored silks with plunging necklines and peacock feathers and carries a fan. So am I just remembering her wrong from the books?
I think it's just been a while since we've read it. And
because I remember that from the TV show, like I remember thinking, whoa.
It's very different. Anyway. I think it's very different. I think it's just we haven't, because I think Tanta Helene, like you have to remember the last time we read Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom, like how long ago was that? Like
maybe it's just she's such a terrible person. That I
you just blocked her out.
No, that I, but I pictured her in a more disturbing way. Anyway,
I think that stuff is all correct. I think what it is it's just I think I remember when we first get introduced to her, and when she's like out, just kind of like, you know, just the description. I remember the peacock feathers for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the fan, but that I'm all about a fan. So, so I think the easiest way also to do this, by the way, is we're just going to go through each one, at least make sure we remember who they are, and then we'll pair them up. So the next is Jean Van Eck.
That name is an actual person. He's a painter. Anyway.
Oh. Did you Google him? And
I did a long time ago.
Okay.
Because I went to look it up a long time ago, and I was like, oh, he's a painter. And his son is a painter. So, like, or no, the wife was a painter. Anyway, go on.
Interesting. Well, Jean Van Eck is, if you can't remember, oh, my screen just went to an Aldi commercial.
Oh, my God. Mine took up the whole screen for, it like, a dentist commercial.
Lord, stop being annoying. Screen.
This page has become.
Yeah, it's gotten like there's a lot of stuff on it.
So much.
And you got so many different things to try to close.
Yeah.
Just to figure out. Okay. So Jean Van Eck is Wyland's father.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And he was so mean to Wyland.
He was. He was like, I mean, and horrible.
He had Wyland's mom committed.
Yeah. And then. His poor bride, Alice, that
can't stop singing.
Yes, she just can't stop singing. But yeah, he
sent Wyland off to school, but then it became clear that he sent him off with a killer to murder him.
Right.
And he his own son.
There were just times, the things that he would say to his own son, yeah. I just found like, horrible.
Calling him like stupid and
yeah, and making fun of the fact that he but there is
he couldn't read, so
we sent him letters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is pretty
shady,
evil. That is some
like,
shady stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so the next one, the apparat. He's gotta be in this list.
Oh
God. Hate. Yeah, we all know I can't stand that man. He drives me crazy.
Yes, we know.
Yeah. And I don't think we need to go into who the apparat is. You know who it is if you're listening to our podcast. So for some reason, all the male villains from Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom, the names get me confused. Like Pekka Rollins,
Oh my gosh. Pekka Rollins.
Oh.
And.
John Van Eck. And Per Haskell.
Pekka Rollins and Per Haskell that got me all kinds of effed up.
I know. I mean, Pekka Rollins, I remember it because of the show, it helps me. He's our main villain, I think, in Six of Crows. I mean, who Kaz is up against. I mean, or really the Crows are up against Pekka Rollins. And he's the leader of the other gang. Is that correct?
Yes.
Pekka Rollins. No.
Black Tips.
Pekka Rollins is also, it's the guy that also manipulated Kaz.
Yes.
When he was really young and has pretty much he tricked his brother and him when they were really young with a family and pretend like that's who he is. Yes, there we go.
He pretended to be Jacob Hertzun.
Yeah. And then he makes it.
And then that's why his brother died. And that's why Kaz is so messed up in the head.
It is Kaz's pretty much reason for living is to. Pretty much, he wants to just kill him.
And he hired Dunyasha.
Pekka Rollins did?
Yes.
Okay, I forgot. Yeah, so we're getting to... we might as well get to her. Yeah, Dunyasha's on this list. Otherwise, a.k.a. Crazy Pants. Yeah, Dunyasha is nutso. Nutso. But I mean, she's really good with a blade.
She's kind of like the... a Nej wannabe. She claims to be an heir to the throne.
Yep. Which is just out there. And she's just a little nutso. So we all remember her. She's just the Nej wannabe.
She's the one that they were on the roof of the Church of Barter and that epic fight.
But luckily she, yeah.
Yeah, but she was just so intent.
Yeah.
On not only killing Inej, but just hurting her. She would throw knives at her in a way that would cut her so that she was, it was a whole thing.
So we definitely can also talk about whether we think these people will go far, because it's not us that is doing any of this voting. It's our listeners. I would be surprised. Dunyasha, I feel like she was hired. She's doing her job. I don't know how evil really or villainy she is. I mean,
I don't want to sway anybody. So.
Oh, well, I will. I mean, I'm going to give you my point of view. That's what we're here for. So Jarl Broom, who we got? Jarl Broom.
Jarl Broom is Hannah's.
Oh, yes.
Dad.
Okay. He's the Druskella bad guy.
Yes.
Bad guy. Yeah, so he...
And we have to deal with him through, most of the series.
Okay, because I'm just... Really, for some reason, I mainly remember him mostly towards,
It was Six of Crows, right? With the...
Because I remember King of Scars mainly.
Maybe. But it was the heist.
Yeah, he's the biggest, baddest Druskella. Because he's also the leader of the Druskella.
Yes.
Yep. And he's just a...
He's the one that messed up Maddie so much.
Yeah. So, remember who he is.
He's...
Sorry.
I have 800,000 ads on here that's absolutely driving me crazy. But anyway, he's known for being, ruthless and innovative on, how he's killing and torturing Grisha.
Yeah.
Because it's not just let's kill all the Grisha. He's using them against each other.
Yep.
He's drugging them with things in order to even be better at drugging them, at killing their own kind. He's making special prisons for them.
Yeah.
Special torture devices for them. Like, it's a lot.
It is. I forgot how much he really is, like, yeah.
He's experimenting on them.
He is doing a lot.
He really is.
And you're right. He really does go through our series.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, of course, we have Sancta Elisaveta, who I've always thought, like, I mean, from the minute you read about... Now, reading her little story in Lives of Saints, no, that's not her. I mean, that is her. But, I mean, you just got to read, like, to actually know who she is, you just need to read King of Scars or Rule of Wolves. And she's just horrible from the beginning. I think she's just, like, really evil and manipulative.
Yeah, she is very manipulative.
And she's the one that is trying to trick Nikolai, like, I mean, trying to get the Darkling to come back. And pretty much, like, I think is the main, like, helps one of our other people on this list, Yuri Vedinin. Which, yeah, Yuri, while we're at him, real quickly, Yuri is that the leader of the Starless Saints, right? Yeah, the cult of the Starless Saints.
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, he comes into action when we read King of Scars, right?
I think so.
Yes.
Because he ends up carrying the Darkling.
Yes.
In his little body.
And I really liked it when he entered the scene because I thought it was a very interesting storyline, Yuri. Just being, you know, like, of course, people that go crazy over some of the bad guys. But, yeah, he drives Zoya insane. that I thought was funny. So, ooh, this next one really is Vasili.
Yeah.
Short-lived, but
I know.
Still, like...
Very short-lived.
I mean, even in the show, like...
He's definitely his father's son.
Absolutely. And I feel like we get... Do we get a lot of his father? I feel like we get more Vasili, like, understanding at least who he is.
Well, I mean, it depends, because we see a lot of his dad through... Yep.
Ooh, that word.
My brain.
It's okay.
It just went like...
Boop.
Uh-huh.
Well.
Yeah, Jinya.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We hear a lot about...
You are
the king
right.
through Jinya.
You know what? The king should have kind of made it on this list.
Whatever.
Oh, well, he didn't. Okay. So, sorry, king. Didn't make it.
But yeah, he's just like... he's a privileged white boy.
That's exactly
who
what
is like... you know, he's hitting on Alina at their engagement party. He's like, I don't even
manipulates Nikolai a lot.
Yeah. But he just doesn't, he's not in his position because he wants to be or because he cares about it. He's just like, it's me. Like, I'm the king. Like, that's just how it is.
He's taking advantage of the situation. And that gets him killed, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, and almost everybody else. But
yeah.
And that all happens in Shadow and Bone. Like, I mean, that's it. Like, I mean, the first book.
Mm-hmm.
So Vasili doesn't make it too far.
No.
Yeah. So, ooh, okay. So number 10, like, I mean, Maki Kurtaban.
Yes.
So.
I know she's a villain.
Well.
But I, like, really enjoyed her parts of the story.
Absolutely.
I think that she was interesting.
It was really interesting. I think it was neat because we got to see, it was also our first time really going into Shu.
Yes.
Shuhan. And that was just neat to see.
We learned more about, like, their history.
Yeah.
Through her.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really interesting.
I would be surprised if she made it far because I really don't see her as like that. I see her, she's a villain, but I mean, like, I don't see her, like, what she was doing was really like, I mean, she was kind of almost like the Darkling, doing things for a good intention, doing things for her country.
Well, but didn't she send her niece?
Yes. I mean, I'm not like telling you like it was a good thing. It's just their ways might have been a little off kilter. I mean, she's not totally like the Darkling who's like, I'm just going to be devoted to trying to give the Grisha a home. And yeah, she also was.
And she ran the care goods.
Yeah. I mean, she. But it was for Shu.
Sure.
Which is just actually like a whole other Druska. Like, I mean, it's really like another country, just like, oh my gosh. Okay, why'd I forget our country above Vravka? Druskella are from there. Fjorda.
Fjorda?
Whew, there we go. It's just another Fjorda. They just have different kind of myths and thoughts about why the Grisha are evil and things like that, you know?
And wasn't there like a theory that she killed her mom?
Yes. Or was yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The alliance with Fjorda.
She's evil. I mean, she's bad.
Yeah. So,
okay. So, we already did Yuri. Then we just have a Volcra that we're going to team up with someone.
Just Volcra.
Yeah. Volcra. Just, they're evil. They eat people.
And they used were to be, people.
They were people that now eat people. Our next is a hard one. Like, I mean, it was hard to put him on the list. I really didn't want to put him on the list, but we really needed 16. because this is a character we love to hate. And that's a whole other, like, topic, kind of like other
books. Well,
I mean, he's...
Obviously not in the books.
So Kaz Brekker, we... Yeah, he's a bad guy, but he's also like we all love him. But he's I feel like a lot of people love him. Like, I mean, like readers love Kaz Brekker.
Well, yeah, Kaz, but not the conductor.
I said Kaz. We're talking about Kaz.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought we were talking about the conductor.
No, I'm talking about Kaz Brekker. Conductor's next.
Oh.
Yeah. Kaz Brekker is a... I don't love to hate the conductor.
Wow, that really just threw me...
Yeah.
...for a loop there.
Oh, I don't love to hate the conductor. No. And I don't think readers do either. Kaz Brekker is just... I really do think he's... I hope he doesn't make it far because I don't feel like he's the best villain. Well, depends on how you want to interpret this. Exactly. Best villain. What is... Is that like our... Oh, ran into my mic. Do that when I get excited. okay, well, we're going to let our listeners kind of figure that one out. But we all know who Kaz is.
Yeah.
Okay, the next is the conductor, which is just from the show.
Yes, just from the show.
And really not a big part. It's just he's evil because of his intentions, and he is... he tries to, I'm trying to remember, what was his big thing? He was hired with someone, right? Hold on. I should have probably looked this one up. Hold on. I'm getting there. Or trying to. God, Grishaverse fandom wiki. Ugh. The conductor. Okay, here we go. Oh, no, he's not even on here. Okay, good.
He is.
Is he? Okay.
It's Arkin Visser.
Oh, his name. Ah, I forgot. Okay, that's his name. Arkin.
Right? Yes.
Well, good job, girl. Do you have it pulled up? Because I don't. Oh, there we go. I found him. Also known as the conductor, was a smuggler who transported people through the fold with the use of a train. At some point, he came into possession of a train. Hold on. Boop, 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 boop. In possession of a train and tracks... That crossed the fold.
He was hired by the other side of Vravka.
Yes.
To get.
That's what that was.
Alina.
Okay.
So
thank you.
In the show, he kills Maria.
Yes.
Thinking that she's Alina.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then the Darkling. So Alina goes missing. And then the Darkling questions. The conductor and ultimately kills him.
Thank you. That's what I was trying. I was like, he does something really evil.
So like, he seems like this very like quirky.
Yeah. Character.
Nerdy, lovable, But Kaz sees him when they get into Novokrabir.
Yes. And yeah, and because Kaz sees everything.
Sees him talking to the leader.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, I got my eye on you.
Yep. And it told, like, I mean, that was a shocker in the show. You know, I mean, that wasn't something that we read about. The conductor is not in the books. It was a new little twist. And I did like that. I did. I thought it was a fun part. It was a surprise. So, okay, so we got the conductor. Then we got Per Haskell. Okay. Per Haskell's, isn't he just the leader of one or the other?
See, but that's like where my brain starts like.
Oh, getting confused?
Per Haskell and Pekka Rollins.
I know. Mind it. I'm so
all like confused. I don't really know why.
I think it's the P's.
Maybe.
And they're just the name.
And they're gang guys. Yeah. And
there's a lot of people. When you start reading Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom, like, we get introduced to a lot of people at once in one book.
For Haskell is the leader of the Dregs.
Yes.
When Kaz asks to join the Dregs.
Yes. And then Kaz takes over.
And then Kaz, like, works his way up.
Right. So.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if you made it far. And then we've got our last one. Ursula, who is from The Language of Thorns. And this is the Darkland sister, which I loved this story. It was definitely a really cool take on The Little Mermaid. And the reason we put her in here is because, I mean, she destroys an entire city.
And she's the Darkling's sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember, but we only find that out in that because it's
yeah.
Just, yeah. And she's like this crazy.
I was
sea
hoping
serpent.
Like she would
make
come
it somewhere else
into the story at some point, but like, no, it's just this character that exists somewhere.
Yeah.
Who
we've got, yeah.
Is related to the Dark. Anyway.
Yeah. It's the Darkling sister. So Bagra, you know, Bagra got, she's a Sidhar, a Sidhor?
Sure.
Sidroher. That's how you say it. That was the word that Lee came up with for the mermaids. Anyways, she's in here.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's our 16. We've gone through them all. Now we got to try to pair these people up and make it kind of, you know, fair. Who should the Darkling go up against that would be fair? I'm trying to see if I see one that would just be maybe the Volcra.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because he created them. So, like, they're kind of made of.
Okay. So, there we go. So, we got the Volcra. Okay. How about we put the conductor and Ursula together? I'm just looking now. You know, see who wins out of that. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and okay. So then, okay. So Vasily, maybe Vasily up against Tanta Helene. I don't think that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that.
Okay. So, okay, Jean Van Eck. Oh, God. Maybe we should put Jean Van Eck up against Per Haskell so we just get rid of one of them. We're going to do that. Just to eliminate confusion for Terry and I. So, perfect. Oh, God. Okay, so actually, the Apparat and Pekka Rollins, that would, well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of fair. Or Apparat.
Yeah.
Pekka Rollins really is.
Yeah, I can see that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to, okay, so we'll do the Apparat with Pekka Rollins. Okay. And then now
we could do like Sancta Elisaveta and Dunyasha.
Okay. That works for me. Crazy Pants, Dunyasha. Okay. Now I got Yarnbrr. So, he, oh,
Maki?
Against Kaz. Oh, maybe we should put it Kaz and Pekka Rollins together. Should we have let?
I mean,
I know. Is that not fair?
That's probably not completely fair.
Okay. So Yarnbrr, and I feel like if we put him up against Yuri, that's not really fair.
Maki. Because they both were experimenting on Grisha to fight Grisha.
Maki's a good one. I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they both
were doing the same thing.
Exactly. Oh, I'm putting that in the wrong spot. Yeah, doing the same thing.
And I mean, Yuri and Kaz aren't really completely fair, but I'm sorry. I feel like
we don't have a choice.
I feel like anybody against Kaz is going to lose regardless.
Well,
because everybody.
I mean, you could put Kaz. So. I mean, what if we took Yuri and put him up against the Volcra and then changed it to the Darkling against Kaz?
Because that would take out a big hitter early on. So let's build up to that.
Okay. So. Yuri, I think you're going to be gone too quickly. Well, no, because you're not really evil. And this is just my point of view. Letting y'all know. Okay, so I think we got them all. Yeah, so... Okay, so here are our brackets. Go to GrishaCast.com. And please vote on who you think is the best villain out of these brackets. We've got the Darkling up against... his own children, the Volcra. Tanta Helene against Vasili. Jean Van Eck against Per Haskell. The Apparat versus Pekka Rollins. Yarnbrr versus Maki Kurttaban. Elisaveta versus Dunyasha. Yuri Vedanen against Kaz. And then the Conductor versus Ursula or Ulla. We did it!
We did it!
Woohoo!
Go vote!
Yes, go vote. And then we will be back and we will have some more of this fun shenanigans. And yeah, okay. Well, love you all and we will see you all next time. Long live the Grishaverse.
Like we're at the end of the hour, so my voice is a little husky. A plus.
No mourners.
No funerals.
This has been GrishaCast. Connect with us on the web at GrishaCast.com. Send an email to info@GrishaCast.com.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok at GrishaCast.
And thank you to our amazing staff, Chris, Michelle, Alex, Lacey, Brenda, and me.